Right, so, thank you very much for coming back in good order. So, we're going to get our revised speaker, Becky Barnes, before lunch. But first, we have Fiona Stevenson. Off you go, Fiona.
Oh, thank you. So I'm going to talk to you about GPs' use of information from the internet in consultations. And I'm Fiona Stevenson. This is all the other people on the grant, which include, if you look down there, Becky Barnes. So it's like a double view, Becky. So I want to talk about my projects about the use of the internet in GP consultations, both the ways in which patients bring it in and the ways in which GPs discuss it. So we live in this increasingly connected world. So 90% of households in the UK have got internet access. And so exchange of information can happen at any time, location, any direction. And this is really good coming after Barbara's, because of course she's talked about the forums, which is one way in which it can happen. In terms of what happens in GP consultations, there's been quite a lot of work that's been done which is about using interviews or questionnaires, but really about asking people what they do. And there's very little that actually focus on what actually happens in consultations. And there also a lot of the focus has been on patients bringing information from Dr. Google, bringing it from the outside in, and how disruptive that is, how upsetting that is for people, for GPs themselves. And some work itself about whether patients feel they can bring it into the consultation. But all, as I say, we've got is reported. So the project that I've got going here is looking at what actually happens in consultation. So what I'm interested in is the GP's, is what the GP does in the consultations, and the way in which GPs are negotiating the use of the internet in consultations. And I'm particularly interested in the ways in which they're able to both use and direct patients to resources that are actually freely available for patients outside of the consultation. So how are they able to make that leap between inside and outside and present something as medically legitimate? So I'm interested in this idea of some form of symbolic transforming of these freely available resources. And that what they're actually doing is adding some kind of value to these resources through their medical expertise. So there's been previous work in terms of how drugs, over-the-counter drugs you can buy outside consultations, get extra value by being suggested in a consultation. And I'm interested in whether we could say the same thing about directing patients to resources that they could have got hold of anyway. So my study is the HARI study, so harnessing resources from the internet. We're video recording up to 300 consultations. For each of those, we've got a baseline questionnaire just before people go in, asking about the sources of information they've accessed before coming to the consultation. And we're also doing some interviews afterwards with 30 of the patients, and all of the GPs will be involved in it. I'm just focusing on what happens in the consultations. Within the whole project, we'll be using all these three different types of analysis, but what I'm focusing on here is the conversation analysis. So the data I'm going to talk about today is using 5 of the 10 GPs that we've got involved in the study. That's 144 consultations, and of those, I'm focusing on 19 in which the internet was either referred to, used, or recommended by the GP. So what GPs are doing is using the internet to inform themselves, to look up things for themselves while the patient's actually in the room, and to provide, also to use that information to provide explanations to the patient. So as you'll see, they don't always share what they're doing. One of the things that GPs do is print that information for patients. People have something to take away, and that relates to what we know from sociological literature about the gift relationship, giving people something to take away, particularly if you're not providing a prescription. And also signposting patients to information and different self-help resources. So I'm interested in what happens when they do each of those things. So I'm going to start off with the first of these, where GPs using the internet but actually isn't engaging the patient in that use of the internet. So what they're doing is informing their decisions, what they're doing, but they're not engaging, there's no kind of shared interaction. They may mark it, mark what they're doing, but they don't necessarily share it. So we've got examples of things like, all right, let's have a quick look, let's do it very quietly, let me just have a quick look, and then, and those are both said quite quietly, you know, and the idea obviously of a quick look as well, diminishing what they're doing, minimising it. And I'll try and see, I'll try and look really flip for you. When we're looking at this, which is why video is so important in this, it's really, you really need to look at what the physical space is. That's why it's really important to have that video and the positioning of the computer. So with one of our GPs in particular, their setup of their room is narrow. It's quite small, but very narrow. So they're sat behind a desk. And although the patient's not directly in front of them, it's kind of here, it's very difficult for the patient to see the screen anyway. So they're able to use to look things up very easily, and we can see what they're doing because our camera is pointing at their screen, but the patient can't. And there's only one example I've got where a patient kind of looks around, but you have to make a real effort to do that. You have to kind of do this to get around to be able to do it. So they don't generally do it. And another one of those, another thing happened with that is in terms of one of our patients is actually blind. So obviously then that puts a whole different complexion on it. They can't really do that then. So in our first example I want to show you, the patient's got a number of medical issues that they've come with, and the GP does indicate that they're going to look something up, but they don't share any details. What they're actually using is patient.co.uk, and a lot of our GPs use that. So that's a completely freely available resource that patients could use. And it shows very clearly on the screen what it is. It's got a very distinctive green banner, so any patient who's used this will identify that immediately. I wasn't really aware of it, but the researcher on the project, Laura, immediately, as soon as she saw the video, said that's patient.co.uk without even seeing it, because it's very distinctive. But they don't actually comment on what they see. So I should play this, and this is your first extra.
Let me just have a quick look. I'll check your blood pressure.
And it also leaves a horrible taste in my mouth. Whether that's the blood, I really don't know. It's not nice.
Are you allergic to anything?
No.
This one, if you notice when you look at what they do, so the patient does look at the screen, and so she's sharing what's been said, and she only shifts her gaze from the screen when she readies herself to have her blood pressure taken. So the GP has said to her, you know, we'll just do your blood pressure. So he's kind of doing these two actions at once. But interestingly, neither of them actually do refer to the screen, so we're not actually clear what he's doing on that. And the patient's only interjection is actually just to provide an additional symptom into this. So there's no kind of sharing on this at all, even though they can actually visually both share it. And the GP's shifting his gaze between both the computer and his task of taking this blood pressure. And then he switches back to the patient record. You can see him switching back. He's obviously found what he wanted to see once he's confirmed verbally that the patient's not actually allergic to anything. So we can presume that's what he's doing. But there's no reference to either of them, even though he's looked something up, and it very clearly comes up as patient.co.uk. It wasn't because of the anonymisation, it wasn't so clear there. And there's no further reference by any of them to that, which is just, I mean, just an interesting interjection in itself, because even though it's just something that they can both see, and there's just no comment on it, we're commenting on something completely different for some reason. In the next example I've got, the GP sharing information from the internet. So they do use these websites to get further information about condition, but they also use it to explain diagnosis. And as I say, these sites are freely available. There's nothing to stop patients from not doing it. And in this example, the patient is actually invited to share the screen. And there's a combination of physical references, you know, actually pointing to the screen, and this kind of medically informed talk. And I'm and I'll say a bit about this later, but I'm quite interested in the language that the patient, that the doctor's using when they're using the screen, because by visually pointing things out, it kind of allows them to shortcut the verbals that go with it. And that, I think that's quite interesting in terms of the medical tools that we use at that same time. This is a GP that in particular is really keen on using the screen to show for dermatology problems, so for rashes and things like this. This is a guy with skin, he's got a concern about skin cancer. Oh, sorry, I've gone up. He's doing so well, that's all.
These are called lentigo simplex. Okay. Lentigo simplex. Lentigo, see this one.
Yes, yes.
It's a typical one. So, but at times it can become this. Lentigo, and you will see the lentigo magna, which
right.
is a superficial skin cancer, a form of superficial skin cancer.
Right.
That's not it. When it has started having all these plaques,
yeah.
This is, you know, we saw this picture before, it's the simplex. This is the magna.
Right.
But you can see these are the simplex one, but you can see different one. So
yeah.
This is not as, it's not as secure as yours.
Okay.
One needs to worry about this.
So what he's doing here is he's used Google. These are Google images. It's very clear that he's used Google. The patient can actually see that. And he's using that in a way to try and reassure the patient that the problem isn't really, that the moles aren't of some kind of medical concern. The patient actually moves forward to look at the screen, and the GP is actually angling it towards him before discussing the images. It's very clear he wants to share it with him. But I think if you look at what he's actually saying and the language he's using, it's actually quite difficult to follow what's being said. The language is very technical. He's very clearly using very, very kind of medical terms to do this, and he's just pointing. And I think you'd have to be really, really familiar with these to be able to follow what he's actually doing, because there's a kind of pointing here, then this is this one, and this is this one, and what the guy really wants to know is, do I have skin cancer? And actually the answer, do you need these images to actually just say, no, actually, you haven't, that's fine, I've seen this before. But I think some of this happens because what the doctor's doing is he's trying to show him, he's got a way of showing him. And previously, it would have been done with a big book. And some of our GPs, we've asked them about what they do with dermatology things. And they say what they would have done, they have a big book of them. And you find the right page. You say, this is what yours look like. If you see, this is what you've got. But actually, by having all this resource, what they're actually doing then is being able to say, it's not this, it's not this, and it's not this, but it is this, and it looks like this. And alongside that, the commentary coming alongside it is quite medically complex, because it's Latin words, quite difficult for the patient to follow. And so although he's trying to share it, you can see this as an example of using the internet to be able to share and add value to what he's doing. It's actually quite difficult, I would say, for the patient. I think we can see that, because the patient, although he's just sort of doing the ums and the ahs, I'm not sure there's no markers of understanding. And we've got another case with the same GP doing the same thing. And it's with a woman who actually gets up and stands right over the screen. But she actually starts just backing away. You can see her physically getting further and further away from the screen. So I'm leaving now. You know, I'm going now. This is finished. And the doctor's still going, if you look at that bit, and then look at this bit. And so I think there is something about how this is done. So I like the fact that he tries to share it there, and he brings the patient in. But I think it shows what can happen. So written information and advice may or may not have been shared. In our following extract, there's this idea of ruling out, which we see a reasonable amount. So again, the same thing about the complexity of what you're actually doing. So the doctor has not actually clear at any point in the whole consultation what the patient's diagnosis is, to the point where, on both reading the transcript and listening to it, when we did a data clinic on this, no one actually was sure about what was wrong with the patient, what the actual diagnosis was at the end. I'm sure it said it on the printout, but actually, he didn't actually tell her what she had wrong. But he does think quite a lot about what she doesn't have, so it fits with what he thinks is wrong with her. And he does provide her with written information at the end, so I'm going to play two together here. He provides her with information in a printed form, but he very carefully presents this as the patient's version. So I've been looking at patient.co.uk, and he sets it up as this is the GP version, because he says to her, I'm just going to give you the patient version of this. So I'll just play this now.
Redness and tenderness, long vein with swelling.
Mm-hmm.
Usually in the greater saphenous vein, which is just slightly higher up, and this is the lower part of that vein.
Right.
I don't think you've got cellulitis. There's nothing to suggest a deep vein thrombosis mm-hmm. or any of those really.
So he's sharing with her what she doesn't have, which is, so he's sharing his diagnostic processes. So you don't have this, you don't have this, you don't have this. But there's no naming what she does have, although he points to where he thinks the swelling is and what the problem is. And interestingly, this could be because she comes in and says, this is a reoccurrence of something I've had before. But at neither time is it named, and she doesn't seem very clear at any point about what the problem actually was. We have got the interview from this one, which I haven't had a chance to look at, so it may be possible she may tell us more about what she understood by this. And then I'll just pull. Sorry about that.
What I could do is that was the medical article. I could give you this is the patient version.
Okay. Thank you.
Page 4. Yeah, that's just their advertising
mm-hmm.
and their disclaimer. So if it's all right with you, I won't print that.
No, that's
fine. So he's very clear saying that was the medical version I've shown you. This is the patient version. And I haven't quite worked out why he does it, so some of you may have ideas about this. So he, in doing that, he then comes down and he spends that time flicking through. Scrolling down to find this bit, and he said, I'm not printing you this bit. And she thanks him prior to that. He's still saying, I'm going to take this bit out. And I'm still not quite sure, I need to think about it a bit more, what he's actually doing with that. But there seems to be something around that I'm going to give you this information, but it's not the same as the information I would have because it's got this disclaimer in it and it's got advertising, and obviously as doctors we wouldn't have any of that, we just have the proper medical information. So there's a kind of suggestion, I think, that it's somehow dumbed down to her level, or dumbed down to a patient's level, it's taken down level to be able to do it in terms of what he's giving her. So it kind of says, you know, I am the doctor and I can provide that all.
Fine.
That's fine. So there's no reference to the fact that she could actually just get this information herself, and that's across all of our data. There's nothing to say you could have looked this up, but we do have one, and I'm going to show you in a minute, where he gives them the website to look it up, which is another version. So the printing out, you're giving something to someone, the giving it, you can find this information yourself. But there's no kind of reference to the fact that people are meant to be increasingly helping themselves, they could have looked this up and have some idea. I think printing information, as I say, is this convenience factor, it's supporting what could have been said already. And it's giving, I'm arguing, what it's doing is giving this information, some kind of this printed version of it, although they could have got it themselves, some kind of medical knowledge, this is where you need to go. This is my medical expertise, so you know what to do. One GP didn't show the information at all on the internet, although they use the internet, although they refer to the internet, they never show it, they never put it up, and they said this is because this saves time, it makes more efficient consultations. And what they did was wrote, so I've got three cases from this GP, and what he does is write it on, in the UK, for those of you who aren't familiar, when prescriptions are given now, they're printed, and it because of the size going through the printer to make them A4, half of it is the prescription and the other half is either blank or has repeats on it. So that allows doctors to write things on it, and they quite often write a piece of information on it. And this is where he writes it. But what I'd say in this next extract is really, this patient is really aware. He's asking lots of, you know, of really good questions. He's linking up. He's suggesting more symptoms as to why this fits with his explanation. Really engaged patient. But what's interesting is he doesn't really understand why he's been given this website. And I absolutely love this. It's one of my favourite clips in the whole thing. I think it's really interesting. So this is extra.
So that's the anti-inflammatories.
Yeah.
That's the website. It's patient.co.uk. It's called golfer's elbow.
Yeah.
The technical name is medial epicondylitis, but if you've got golfer's elbow, it'll tell you all about it.
Thank you.
All right.
What do I do with this?
Take that to any chemist.
Yeah.
To have it, and just tear that bit up and keep it with you.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you.
I just love it. I think it's brilliant. He gives it to him. He goes down it. This is all the information. This is the website. This is what it's called. This is how you can look it up, you know, and switch it over. This is your anti-inflammatories. Gives it to him, the anti-inflammatory bit at the top. He must do that because you can see what he then does. And then the patient says, what do I do? What's this about? And I just think, given the rest of the consultations of the longer time, show you, fantastic to just watch him do that. And then he just says, give it to the chemist. And then what he says is, he's not clear what to do. He's just told to keep it with him, which doesn't tell you anything. Keep it with you. I mean, what's it going to do? Like go through your pocket and set off your phone and tell you you've got to go and look at it. I mean, I just love it. I think it's great. It's so, because obviously we don't know what happens when you signpost like that, and we obviously do on this side. And just a lovely example. And actually with the previous one where he gave it to somebody else, she didn't like it. I'm showing you all this. And she obviously makes it clear she's not even going to look it up. She wants another, in fact, she wants something completely different. What I'm arguing is the GPs are using the internet. They're looking up information for themselves. They're providing explanation to patients. They're providing information or even printed versions of information. And they're doing this signposting. So what I'm asking is, could the internet lead to reduced explanations, which is one of my questions from this. So there's a lot of medical terminology when we're using visual images, a focus on problems, on actually saying why I think this is this is what the problem is, so using rule outs, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. So using their kind of stream of consciousness about how they've made the diagnostic information, but actually maybe not naming it in that. In giving all that information to a patient, involving them, they've kind of forget to explain what the problem actually is. An expectation patients will look for more information outside the consultation, so transferring this work from the clinic into the home. And interesting, because a lot of what the work around this area talks about is people having to do the work prior to coming, and self-help, and lots of it's about prior. But I don't think we get an awful lot of discussion about post stuff, and I'm interested where this work is shifting and what this is about. And the doctor, that last doctor I showed you, is very clear that, you know, let's move this outside, a better use of clinical time. So patients don't appear to equate the information provided in the consultation with that available outside the consultation. And given the amount of use of this patient.co.info, .co.info.uk, I think that's really interesting. I think there is an important act of signposting and what that signposting's doing. And what I'm arguing as a GP is somehow translating readily available information, and in doing so, transforming this information into a legitimate medical offering. And I would argue that possibly the use of the internet could be affecting that, what the doctors are actually doing. And then this is the thing I have to put at the end of all of it, because I'm funded by the National, the NIHR. So thank you.
Thank you. Good. Chance for some questions, thoughts, observations. Alison Fielding.
You know, I really enjoyed that. I wanted to ask, so in your data, you've got some examples of where GPs are using the internet as a resource for patients.
Yeah.
And you've got some examples of where they're using it as a resource for themselves. So in the first extract, they've got GPs using it as a resource purely for themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in the way in that first example, that kind of using the resource for the GP is sort of minimised, it's interleaved with other activities, it's not made the focus. of the consultation at any point. And I'm wondering how common that is, whether that's a kind of typical way in which GPs look up things for themselves rather than show things to their patients.
Yes. Now, one of the things that is interesting in this is how we're, and some of most of them we can see what's happening on the screen, but we've got a few where we can't actually see, and we've had quite a lot of debates about how we make that distinction between what's happening and whether we need a separate collection for them. You can do things electronically, some would still do in a book. So looking up stuff in the British National Formulary in the BNF is a really good example. So quite stereotypically, the younger ones are looking it all up online, and the older ones are getting the book out and checking it out. So in some ways that doesn't enter into what we've got. So we've got this really strange line between doctors looking stuff up for themselves and then whether where you would never share that. Why would you share that? And stuff that can be shared. So what I've tried to only include in this is where it's a potential they could either discuss what they're doing or share it with the patient. So it's something that links in some way and that's looked up on a patient website that's accessible, as opposed to something that is medically relevant, like what the drug is or something. But yeah, it's been a really interesting how you made that link.
Anna Osterman.
Yeah, my question is a bit related. I was wondering if you couldn't take question in terms of who benefits from that information and then relate that to how socially, spatially shared that means and that information is. Because it does seem more clear that in extract one, for instance, is to himself.
Yeah.
And also the way he reacts to the information he reads on screen with line 8. Oh, right? That O after 4.2 seconds. So he was reading and he, oh, are you allergic? So there is some new information in a way. I mean, he expects some new information from himself. So I was wondering if you could take out the medical line from the group. Who is the major beneficiary of that information? I don't know. And the socially shared information. That was just a comment, not a question.
Yeah.
And then we have just quickly about the dermatological information, though. I find it quite interesting because I do think that is perhaps a pattern in terms of dermatologists. I'm not talking about skin now, I'm talking about something quite.
I can't. What am I talking?
Skin cancer is a big issue, especially in some countries like mine.
Mm.
So it competes quite a lot with in terms of female breast cancer. So there is a whole lot put on in terms of patients' education, because you should be also self protecting and being able to distinguish. It's not something about talk, describing, but really showing how to spot what is relevant to it. So there's, I don't know, in the larger literature, perhaps there might be something. And just a question itself. This, sorry, extract 5.
Perhaps just time for a comment, Anna.
Oh, okay.
Comment, just on end with a comment, so a quick response from.
Yeah, it's a quick response. I just want to know what this referred to in my hand. I wasn't sure. If it was the website, it gave two things that was
inflammatory.
So I just wonder, I was thinking
about it. Which bit, sorry? And they.
Extract
where?
Flying pin.
Oh, lantern?
Yeah.
What do I do with this?
The disc.
Yeah, it's to the website, because you can see where he's turned it over, so he's not looking at the drug, he's looking at the website. Yeah.
Super. Thank you very much. Once again, Fiona.